Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm so glad that you're able to join. And my prayer is that God will use this word to accomplish what truth always accomplishes, bring more freedom into your life, because it's the truth that sets us free. So let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your word. I thank you for adding spiritual words to spiritual thoughts. Lord, I know there's some things that you want to impart into us, and to take deeper into us so that our minds are transformed, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we have the mind of Christ about who we are in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've said this many times, so I'll say it again because it's so significant and such an important starting place for almost any sermon. And that is this, is that faith always starts with what God believes, not what you believe. Our belief, our faith, is a response to what he believes. And when we talk about things, basic things about like our identity, it's so significant that you don't determine the truth by your behavior. Now, your behavior may have been wrong, and there may be need for repentance and to recognize there's a place in your life where you need to appropriate the freedom that Jesus accomplished for you at the cross. But it doesn't change who God says you are. Who you are isn't determined by what you do. Now, what you do should be a reflection of who you are, but because so many Christians don't really know who they are in Christ, and that's the important phrase, in Christ, then their behavior doesn't line up with what God says is true about them. And the Lord, this transformation that takes place through the renewal of our mind, let me just read the scripture to you. I wasn't planning on reading this one, but I think it's really significant. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, in this section, Paul is challenging Christians who, though they are new creations in Christ, evidently don't know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, their behavior doesn't line up with their true identity. And so he's challenging them because even though they're born again, even though they are new creatures, new creations in Christ, they're behaving as if they were still the old self that was crucified on the cross. And they were thinking with the mind of the old self, and yet that mind has been nailed to the cross. And so in bringing sort of some things he's saying to them in terms of challenging them, like, what are you doing living like this or living like this or doing this in light of who you are in Christ? He goes on, he says this, verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 4. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Christ. Been taught about being in him. So few Christians have been. Everything from the Christian life flows from you're being taught who you are in him. You're being taught about your union with Christ. That is the message of the gospel. He says that in reference to your former manner of life, you have laid aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit. And you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, having put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and true holiness. You have put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Your new nature, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, that you have partaken of the divine nature. Your new nature is the Christ-like nature. Your new nature is the image of God nature. That's who you are. As a matter of fact, your nature is defined, because he says in this verse 24, and you have put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, wow, that's the new self in the likeness of God. Didn't say it was God, but in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, past tense, has been created in righteousness and true holiness. And so the moment you're born again, you're given a new nature. And that new nature is characterized by the righteousness of God and true holiness. That's the new self. But what he says in the verse earlier, he said, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, Romans 12 passage says we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. He talks about the spirit, the renewal of our mind. Our transformation comes as a result of our rethinking, discovering and rethinking ourselves as one who is in union with Christ, who carry His nature, who carry the image of God nature, who carry the nature that is identified as the righteousness of God in Christ, that carries true holiness. That was so about you, true about you the moment you were born again. It was accomplished for you at the cross. It's not something you're trying to achieve. It's something we need to embrace. I'll use the word receive. Something we need to embrace. It's not something you achieved. It's something you already received. So we need to now embrace that. This is what it says, and we've shared this verse many times. It's so significant, so important. It says in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He made him, the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, become sin, to be sin on our behalf. Now think about that. Think about how far God went for our rescue. Think about how much He did, the price He paid, that God stepped out of eternity in the time. The Father made Him, Jesus, His only begotten Son, who knew no sin, had never known sin, to be sin on our behalf. God so loved the world that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's amazing. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's because you're in Christ. It's not because you've proven anything or earned anything. It's because you're in Christ. And this new self, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, you have put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Not just performance, not just when you're doing stuff on the outside, but on the inside is still dark. It's when you're walking in holiness on the inside out. That's important. Now, there's a verse that, you know, I'm sure I've read it many times, but it never got my attention until just the other day in doing some study in the book of Romans. And this is from Proverbs 28:1. The book of Romans is this amazing book. It's really this huge expansion of God, of Paul just presenting the gospel to Christians. Because sadly, so many Christians don't understand the gospel. And so he's just presenting the gospel, the good news that you have been placed into the very life of Christ. And you now live from His life. You live in the intimacy He has with the triune God. And you live under His favor. It's just amazing. That's the gospel. But he also refers to it as the gift of the righteousness of God. And the words, right, the righteousness of God is used 35 times in the book of Romans in 30 verses. So in just 30 verses, 35 times the righteousness of God is used, because that's what happens to us. That's the free gift in our new birth, is that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ, because Christ carries the righteousness of God and we're in union with Him. Amen? This is significant, so important, so foundational, because ultimately what Jesus came to do, what He came to knock out of the park, is the reign of sin in our lives. Jesus came to set free mankind from sin's reign. And sin's reign involves two things. One, the guilt of sin, and the power of sin's enslavement. Jesus came to set you free from sin's guilt and from sin's control. That's the reign of sin. Now, He's also came to set the whole world free from the reign of sin. The law of sin is just in everything natural. He's come to set that free. He reconciled the whole world, even the cosmos, to Himself. But for us, on a personal level, Jesus came to die for your sins. And what does that mean? He came to set you free, came to set me free from sin's reign, which includes the guilt of sin, living under condemnation all the time, and to set us free from sin's power, its right to control you. Alrighty? So, and he says, this is what Proverbs 28:1 says. Amazing. So righteousness, when you talk about you're the righteousness of God in Christ, that's your new nature, righteousness and true holiness, because your new nature is the image of God nature, the Christ-like nature, that nature that you now have because you're in union with Christ is God's obliteration of the reign of sin in your life. Because it's not just about a righteous standing before God. It's also a righteous walk before God. And the righteousness of God in Christ that's now mine allows me to stand before the Father. It allows me to have intimacy with the Father without ever fearing condemnation, rejection, because he sees me as righteous as Jesus. Wow. And that righteousness is also imparted into me as part of my nature from which I now live. I live from Christ, and the righteousness of God in Christ, that's mine, overcomes the power of sin step by step. I'm walking in his victory and in his righteousness, okay? This is what Proverbs 28:1 says. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now hear that again. The wicked flee when no one pursues. The wicked are always looking over their back. That's part of the reign of sin. They're always looking over their back. They're always self-examining, always in the navel-gazing, introspection, always feeling like it never was good enough. It's not, they didn't do it just right. There's a sense of shame. So the wicked flee when no one's pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, that word bold could also be in the Hebrew translated confidence. And so what that says is that you can't walk in boldness. You can't walk in confidence if you're walking around with a sin consciousness. If you're walking under a sense of guilt all the time, and the self-rejection that comes with that, you'll never be able to walk in the boldness that characterizes the life of Christ. Jesus was very bold. He was never arrogant, but he walked in boldness. He walked in bold faith. He walked in confidence in who he was in the Father and the Father in him. That's why this is so significant. The just shall live by faith, but the reign of sin, which includes this whole sense of guilt, or this whole sense of something not being right about you, the enemy tries to pour that on so that you can't walk in faith. You can't walk in boldness. Let me give you two, and just a little bit, backing up a little bit. Let me just describe what righteousness means again, and the righteousness of God. And the word righteousness would be better translated or defined with just the word rightness. There's just something that's really right about God. Not just in what he does, it involves his right behavior, but it involves that there's something right about who he is at the very core of his being. It's the rightness of God, the right behavior, and the purity of God on the inside. It's the character of God. Now hear this. In Christ, you are in union with the rightness of God. It involves both our standing and our new nature as Christians, and our capacity to live supernaturally the supernatural righteousness of God. Not just you in a self-improvement program trying to become more righteous, but actually revealing through your behavior, the righteousness of God from Christ, living his life through you. Just amazing. So let me read the scripture. I don't want to go too long. This, because it's such an important word. This is from 1 John chapter 3. This is what it says. We shall know, verse 19, by this that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts, confirm or assure our hearts before him. And whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have boldness or confidence before God. Now notice what he says here. It's important that we're able to assure our hearts before him, even when our heart condemns us. Listen, when the enemy's trying to condemn you, trying to make keep you walking with a consciousness of sin, this is the consciousness of your failure and that you haven't performed enough. You didn't do it well enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't say it just right. All those kind of things. So it says this. He says, whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts. And he knows all things. He has said about you and about me that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the new creation that we are. That we have the image of God nature. We have the Christ nature. We have the Christ-like nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. And from the inside out, he says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, that we are have been imparted to us true holiness. That's the truth about you. That's the truth about me. And you and I can't pay attention. This is part of the renewal of the mind. When the enemy condemns you, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not how God changes us. He didn't transform us by condemning us. He transforms us by calling forth the new creation, for our setting our mind. We have the mind of Christ, Scripture says. And so we have to reject, ignore in our mind when there's condemnation and all that kind of stuff. That mind was nailed on the cross. And we have to embrace in faith the mind of Christ. And what is Jesus? What does he say about you? What is his mind about you that you're in union with? That you're the righteousness of God in him. And there's no condemnation. And so that when you fail, when you blow it, he doesn't rub your nose in it so that you walk around for days and forever feeling guilty and shame. That's not what God does. He believes in you. He made a new creation out of you. He crucified the old man, raised up a new person in Christ, sharing and partaking of the righteousness of God in Christ and true holiness. That's your nature. That's who you are. That's the truth about you, and the truth will set you free. And he wants us to ignore any other thinking. For as a man thinketh in his heart, Scripture says, so is he. And so we have to believe the truth about us. That place in John 16, and I'll close with it, that people have often used about the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. Now, that's true. The Holy Spirit does do that. He shows us when we've blown it. We don't have to be introspective so that we have a chance to repent. But that repentance comes because what John 16 says is that the Holy Spirit convicts believers of righteousness. Huh? Remember, God changes us by reminding us of who we are and calling forth the new creation, not by condemning us. Not by condemning us. Even if our hearts condemn us, we can believe God because God is greater than our hearts. Amen? And so when you blow it and when you fail, what is God doing? Will he show you your sin? Yes. Why? Because he wants you to be free, to walk in the freedom. He wants you to see how you fell into deception. But is he angry at you? No. But what is he really going to do? What's the main thing he does? He convicts you of your sin by convicting you of righteousness. He reminds you of who you really are. So when you're laying in the gutter, not literally the gutter, maybe the gutter, but when you're laying in the spiritual gutter, just beating yourself up again because you didn't do it right, didn't say it right, didn't, you know, whatever. And he's there saying, look, I came to set you free from the reign of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin. I came and made you a new creation, union with Christ. I'm convicting. This is not who you are. This is not your true nature. You're the righteousness of God in Jesus. Now get up and start walking again. That's how he changes us. He convicts us of righteousness, convicts us of our righteousness in him. And when we live like that, even after failing, not in arrogance, but we can go forth again in boldness like a lion because we know we're not under rejection and we're not under judgment. We're who God says we are. And when we understand our righteousness and who we are, our new nature in Christ, we're able to get up and move forward. Instead of introspection, always looking over our shoulder, you know, fearing the consequences and all that stuff, we simply get up and start walking out who we are from Christ once again. Because he convicts us of righteousness. He paid a huge price that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, that's a little bit longer than we normally do. I feel like it was worth it. I pray that you would share with others, because I think it's a life-liberating word, transformational word. If you don't know who you are, then how can you be and act in light of who you are? Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great weekend abiding in Christ, living from him, not just trying to live for him. Amen? Amen.